The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As soon as Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. As you can hear, I'm losing my voice. It's just that I've been teaching and it's been a very busy week. So if you play your cards right, that could be for your advantage, you realize. First of all, I won't sing, and the sermon might even be shorter today. So continue to pray. When we come to a passage like this one about the healing of St. Peter's mother-in-law, we might ask ourselves, you might ask yourselves, what is there that's new in this that I haven't heard before? I know the story reasonably well. I see the point. What can I take from it today? What application does it have for me today? There's always something new for us in the scriptures because the scriptures are not simply words on a page. We believe that they are the living word of Christ, that he acts through them on us, that his Holy Spirit, who inspired the gospel writers, is also present to us when we listen to the scriptures, when we read them privately, and especially when we hear them proclaimed at Mass on Sunday. So there is always something for us to enrich us, to enlighten us, to deepen our prayer and our relationship with Christ. But today in particular, I would see in this gospel a very important lesson. The scripture speaks to us of St. Peter's concern for his mother-in-law and of Jesus healing her, of the many villagers who bring out to him their sick and their suffering so that the whole street in front of the house is crowded, and our Lord heals them all with great compassion. Now that speaks to us not only of the compassion of Jesus, but also of the goodness of these families caring for their loved ones. That seems to be a very natural thing. But there are many who need to be taught what true compassion is and what compassion is not. The evidence of this is Friday's Supreme Court decision in Canada, which has opened the way to physician-assisted suicide in this nation and the practice of euthanasia. Physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia are the same thing. They just refer in a different manner to who initiates the process. Archbishop Miller has written a letter to all of us this week in response to this decision, and so he has asked that it be read today in all our parishes. To the clergy and faithful of the Archdiocese of Vancouver, this past Friday, the Supreme Court of Canada overturned the law against assisted suicide. This ruling will now expose vulnerable Canadians to pressures to end their lives and could lead to euthanasia in our hospitals and care homes. In order to protect the vulnerable and uphold the rights of all Canadians, I am calling on the Catholics of the Archdiocese of Vancouver to act with urgency. Together with others who advocate for the vulnerable, let us call on the federal and provincial governments to put in place all possible safeguards against suicide and euthanasia. Let us call on governments, health authorities, and the healing professions to improve access to palliative care. We know that when people are provided with palliative care that takes away pain and reduces suffering, their desire for assisted suicide almost always goes away. As Catholics, we maintain that everyone should have quality palliative care available to them. So that we do not forget our own personal responsibilities, all of us need to be reminded to spend time with those who are dying, disabled, depressed, or elderly. A principal reason why people lose the desire to live is their isolation and loneliness. Within our own families and the family of the church, let us ensure that everyone's God-given dignity is recognized by the time, attention, and love that we show to the most vulnerable among us. The decision of the Supreme Court does not in any way change Catholic teaching. To cause death in order to eliminate suffering is always wrong, contrary to human dignity, and fails to respect God our Creator. Please offer at least a portion of your prayer and fasting this Lent for this cause and for those Canadians who will be most affected by it. Invoking upon you the blessings of our Heavenly Father, and with the assurance of my prayers for you and your families, I remain sincerely yours in Christ, J. Michael Miller, Archbishop of Vancouver. The Catholic Church, following the example of our Lord, has always had a particular mission to the sick and to the dying. You know that. Most of you are aware of the number of Catholic hospitals in times past in the city of Vancouver and the presence still of St. Vincent's and Mount St. Joseph. You may know that, in fact, health care in Western Canada was largely founded by orders of sisters. But you may well think that now, with so many communities of sisters not attracting vocations any longer, and government establishing good health care systems, the time of Catholic health care is over. The mission of the Church in health care, in care for the sick and the dying, is a twofold one. It's not simply to take the place of what government does or should do in society. Our mission is to continue Christ's healing and compassion, to humanize our sufferings, to take them away whenever possible, but to teach us also to do good with the sufferings that we do have to bear, and to do good for those who suffer. The slogan, "Death with Dignity," is a misnomer. Every death has its indignities. Every death has its sufferings. But we live at a time in which physicians, healthcare providers, can alleviate pain and manage symptoms as never before. You don't eliminate pain by eliminating the patient. And in the case at hand, what is at danger, what is being decided here, is that something that has been a liberty — suicide is not a criminal act in Canada — when it becomes a right, it imposes upon other citizens the obligation that people can access that right. There's no guarantee that any of you, any of us, will be unaffected by what is to follow. Already in two provinces, physicians' colleges are trying to impose policy that would require any physician to either provide assistance in dying, assistance in suicide, or directly refer the patient to another physician at the cost of losing their licenses. That would eliminate Catholics from being physicians. None of us can make a direct referral that would cause death, whether it be for abortion or, in this case, assisted suicide, euthanasia. So you will find physicians losing their licenses if that aspect of this law goes forward. You will also find, if you read the statement issued by the Supreme Court, in which, by the way, there was not a single judge dissenting, which says that this is already the societal decision. In that decision, there's no real mention of restricting such assistance to people with terminal illness, only to those who have intolerable suffering as they see it. So someone could make this request for depression. Someone could make this request well in advance of imminent death. There are no restrictions here. This is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. It will cost some their lives, and it will cost others their livelihoods. And what remains of our Catholic hospital system, we will have to see. Although in Canada, the Catholic hospital system is not what it once was, you have to remember, in the world today, there are over 21,000 healthcare facilities established and operated by the Catholic Church. We are the largest provider of healthcare on the planet because the charity of Christ impels us to do this. Now, this social change would not have taken place, could not have taken place, without there being a loss, a deterioration, within our own homes and our own hearts about our attitude towards death and the dying. So there's need here to examine our consciences and to ask whether we are looking at this question and whether we are looking at our own experiences of death and dying among our loved ones in the light of our faith. In the light of our faith. God is the author of life, and he is also the arbiter of death. The physician doesn't have that right. We don't have that right. We have to submit ourselves in living and dying to him. That you can have no faith and still be opposed to euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. But we who have faith have many more reasons to be so opposed. Now, in Catholic tradition, the patron saint of the dying is Saint Joseph. You may never have heard that. You're used to statues of Saint Joseph in nativity scenes, perhaps images of him holding the Christ child, but you may not have ever thought about the end of his life. Saint Joseph's death is not described in the Gospels, but we do have other early Christian writings that speak of the death of Joseph. And that death is always described as having taken place in the presence of Jesus and Mary, his family. A death at home, surrounded by love, surrounded by the two most important people in his life and in God's plan for our salvation, Christ and his Blessed Mother. And so for that reason, Saint Joseph, patron of Canada, is also patron of a good death. When I was a child growing up, I've spoken to you before of the two churches that were close to my home, one Irish, one French-Canadian. And you know that the statue of the Sacred Heart comes from that French-Canadian church, which unfortunately has closed. Behind that statue, in that church, there was a beautiful fresco on the wall. And it fascinated me as a child because it showed the death of Saint Joseph. Joseph was painted in bed with the blankets up around his chest. And Our Lady was nearby. And Jesus, wearing a brown tunic, not his usual red and white, so I knew he was at home on his day off, so to speak, was seated behind Saint Joseph with one arm around his shoulder and over his chest, sort of giving him a bear hug. And that image inspired people constantly. If you had somebody who was sick, a husband, a father who was injured at work, an elderly parent that you were taking care of, a grandmother who was ill, you went in front of that image and said your prayers and lit a candle and knew that what you were going through, the Holy Family had gone through. What you were feeling, the Mother of God had felt. And she was with you. And her son was near you. And you didn't have to be afraid. So about 20 years ago, I was able to find a statue, quite by chance, that had been discarded from another church in the States that showed St. Joseph dying. Because that image was very popular in French Canada and in Germany and Austria for some reason. Italy, too, has images of the death of St. Joseph, but it's not the most popular thing that you'd see. But because at that time in the past, death occurred more often in our homes, in the midst of our families, rather than in hospital or nursing home, people needed these images and wanted them to help them in the very difficult job of caring for a loved one day after day. So I found this statue, which depicted Our Lady sitting at the edge of Joseph's bed. And Joseph is propped up on pillows that are resting against her chest. So she's helping him breathe. And her head is cocked, listening, while tears run down her cheek. And at the other end of the bed, at the foot of the bed, Jesus is standing, holding Joseph's hand, and with his other hand pointing to heaven. And Joseph is looking with confidence into the face of the Son of God, whom he's raised as his own, and trusting that whatever he's going through, all will be made well. All will be made well. Because God is merciful. And we see his mercy in the human face of Jesus. So I bought that statue shortly after my own father died. And had it put up in my last parish. And it became very, very popular, for all the reasons that I've just spoken of. And then 3 years ago, just a short time before I was transferred here to you, I happened to be in Dublin at a church antique shop, and I found a smaller version of the same statue. So I bought it. And over the last year and a half, I've been paying to have it repainted. And it was finished just last week. And so it's there in front of the side altar. You can come up and see it after Mass. It'll be there throughout this year because it's very appropriate as we face this change in our society and our laws that we can see what a good death is supposed to be, what a happy death involves. And so we can bring to our loved ones, whether they're at home or in hospital, real loving support. We can't take away all physical and all spiritual pain of dying, perhaps, even though we can do what we have never been able to do before in human history in that regard. But we can bring healing and love and strength so that we do what is right and so that we trust in God and so that we offer hope to those who are hopeless and protect the dignity of the living as well as the dying. So today's gospel, you see, does have something for us to think about. Our compassion for the sick, our compassion for the dying, the way in which we think of such things when they affect us personally and at home, and how we think of things as they affect our societies. It is very difficult when someone whom we love is taken from us. But when we see the marvelous devotion of our doctors and nurses and others, when we see how the sick and the dying are able to receive so much love and to receive so much healing and to find dignity in their death, not because they're taken out of this life, but because others around them put so much into the last moments of their living, then we have the right understanding. What has always been regarded as a crime is now going to be regarded as a public service. That's shameful. That's shameful. We have to do what we can do as friends of Christ to make certain that this law, whatever laws may result as a result of this court decision, might protect all who can be protected and direct our society back into the ways of justice and truth upon which it was founded. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.